This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Gonkis, I wanted to ask you more about that particular book, Forbidden Archaeology.
Yeah.
Okay, Gonkis. We wanted to talk about that. Are you familiar with it, Dr. Hunter?
I've heard of it. I haven't read it, but I have heard of it, yeah.
Gonkis, give us a brief summary.
Well, basically, Michael Cremo has researched this very, very detailed book in which he cites instances of archaeological discoveries and findings that seem to have been kind of ignored deliberately. Things like, you'll have heard of UPARTS, which is an acronym for out-of-place artifacts. A very simple example would be the Antikythera mechanism, which was a kind of a cross between a sundial and a sextant, with something that had cogs and gears, and it was some kind of astronomical clock or something like that. But as far as history is taught in high school today, there's no way that the ancient Greeks should have had the precision engineering skills and knowledge to have created such a thing. I mean, there are a lot of parts missing, but now they're starting to think it's actually almost kind of like a mechanical computer. But far, far even weirder than that, there's lots of instances of like miners digging down and then stumbling across pre-dug tunnels of fantastic quality that must have been there, according to the rock strata above and below, millions of years ago. There's lots of artifacts have been found inside coal seams, and there is no real scientific explanation as to how something from, you know, the current day or 500 years ago can end up right embedded inside stone that's half a billion years old. You know, we date things in antiquity, if we can, with organic material, and we can carbon date them, but it's very difficult to date stone alone. You can't. But when you get some kind of organic matter, you can take a kind of guess. And obviously, archaeology is based around the fact that if you find certain things in certain geographical strata, you can roughly date these things to that strata. But there's thousands of examples of really strange things that seem to indicate either intelligent humans have been on the go much, much longer than is taught now, or some other intelligence was around doing certain things. So basically, Forbidden Archaeology is exactly what the title is. It's the mainstream academia in terms of archaeology are wantonly ignoring lots and lots of facts and discoveries because many people in power, well, not power, but it's to say in academics who have a good reputation that was built on this work and that work, and they've published this and they're respected. Well, if somebody comes along with one thing that absolutely throws a spanner in the works, that they may have said, okay, so I date this particular civilization between 7,000 and 6,500 BC or whatever, and then somebody comes up with something that completely blows that out of the water, this person who will have a lot of sway in their respective institution, they will not necessarily get this research banned, but they'll certainly not try to publicize it or give it any kind of publicity or help along the way at all. It's I can't remember the term that Cremo uses. It's not censorship, but he has a term for it where basically things are just not supported and they're left to kind of just go by the wayside. There are many instances of this because basically in the West we have a timeline that's this out of Africa thing, various humanoids. Then we did this, and then circa 8,000 years ago, whatever, we started to form, you know, do farming, and we started maybe to have banking, da 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 da. But there are so many objects and artifacts around the world that obviously show that we were doing incredible things much, 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 much earlier.
It really brings to mind the work of Charles Fort, which is, I found particularly influential, and his idea of damned facts. My last book was called Damned Facts. It's kind of like a Fortean approach to religious studies. Yeah, this idea that there are these phenomena, these experiences, and then these strange objects and things that science really doesn't know what to do with them. And the best it can come up with is to kind of bracket them out and ignore them. So, yeah, really interesting stuff.
There are all these stone circle kind of things all over southern Africa. Absolutely hundreds of thousands of these things. And archaeologists these days, they will try to say that they were some kind of, you know, cattle pens or something, which is just insane because the amount of work that was gone into building them, you wouldn't do that. Plus, there are other like functional problems with them that just make them completely unsuitable for the supposed stated purpose. And these things also are, there were so many of them that supposedly there were not that many people living in this south part of the continent of Africa 10, 15, 20,000 years ago. There wasn't that much of a population then.
Yeah.
Who built all these things? You know, there was like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them. There are so many contradictions, but, you know, there are so many examples of strange things like let's say, for instance, large salt deposits or lots of seashells of deposits up high on mountains where you think, well, how did that get there? And that, you know, in South America and things like that. But for me, just take the largest of quarried blocks and tell me, get me the foremost stonemason, civil engineer, architects, whatever, and just get them over to Lebanon, get them to tell us how were these things quarried and how were they moved. Simple as that, but it is completely ignored. It is completely ignored. Most people don't even know that these conundrums exist.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think it's time that we started to face up to some of these mysteries and really, you know, think about them seriously for a change instead of...
Stephen Bassett of ufology, he calls it a truth embargo. I'll go with that.
Mm. Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. What are your main interests in terms of anthropologically speaking?
My main interest anthropologically speaking
would
be, at the moment, it's shifting away from spirit mediumship, which I'm still interested in spirit mediumship, obviously, but I'm moving towards thinking about how we relate to our kind of environment, how we relate to ecology, and the relationships that exist between different kinds of organisms in our environment and ourselves. It's kind of the direction that I'm heading in now. But I see that the a lot of really important connections between the work I've done in the paranormal and the work that I'm starting to do in thinking about ecology.
This is animism you're talking about.
This is animism I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know if you know much about animism.
I was going to ask, yes, please, but I was going to ask you about, are you aware of the on Radio 4 over in the UK, it's a non-music station, you know, for the kind of intellectual, I suppose, but I listen to Radio 4, and if you know Jim Al-Khalili, he hosts a program called The Life Scientific every week. Mm-hmm. He interviews, you know, notable scientists, someone he had on recently, the person was going on about their research into how trees and other plants are communicating with each other through fungus and fungi and stuff. And it was insane. It was almost like one tree can warn another one that was part of its family that this is going to happen, and they can choose to share resources or not, and the communication is. And now, you know, in the 80s and stuff, people used to laugh at Prince Charles because he would talk to plants and stuff, and now I'm starting to think he might have been onto something.
We're onto something, too. We got to do the sprig. We don't talk to plants here, but maybe we'll get a better response than sometimes we get from humans. Yes. Dr. Hunter, Goggs, and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Fire your stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Scott Bauer, and I've been a professional trader for over 25 years. I've traded for Goldman Sachs and was the first Amazon market maker at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I'm also the CEO here at Prosper Trading Academy, the leading educational firm teaching people how to trade the markets. For a limited time, I'm giving away one of my favorite secret trading techniques used by thousands of our students every day to help build their financial future. To learn this technique right now, call my 24/7 voicemail and just leave your email address. I'll email you my free trading technique right away. Just call 1-800-228-2155. This is the very information my students use every day to invest in their financial future. Again, call 1-800-228-2155 in the next 30 minutes and leave your email address on my voicemail. That's 1-800-228-2155. Call 1-800-228-2155.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Goggs McKay is our guest co-host. The book from Dr. Jack Hunter and published by Robbie Graham is Engaging the Anomalous: Collected Essays on Anthropology, the Paranormal, Mediumship, an extraordinary experience. And we notice here you have an introduction or foreword from Frickster theorist George Hansen, who's been on the Paracast. How'd you happen to select him?
Well, I've been in touch with George for quite a long time, actually. I can't remember who initiated the conversation originally, but George has been a big supporter of my work since I started, publicly talking about my research into the paranormal. When I first read George's book, The Tricks from the Paranormal, my mind was blown because here he was kind of laying out all of these connections between anthropology and the paranormal.
So he's a clever guy, yeah.
He's a very clever guy. And he was a big influence on me. And then over the years, we've kind of stayed in touch with each other. Like I say, he's always been very supportive, and I've tried to promote his book as often as I can as well, because I think it's a really important book that more anthropologists should read. I know a lot of parapsychologists are interested in it, but anthropologists should read it too.
Jack, you were going to explain animism?
Oh, yes.
Because many of our listeners may not be aware of what that is.
Yeah, so animism is the belief in, well, the original definition of animism, because animism itself is an anthropological term. It was developed by a guy called Sir E.B. Tyler, who was he was the first chair in anthropology at Oxford University. So, there's a good case for saying that he was the first anthropologist. And he coined this term animism to refer to the belief in spiritual beings. And he understood the belief in spiritual beings to be the most fundamental, or the most basic definition of religion. So he was saying that if we look at all of the world religions, from high Christianity right down to the kind of indigenous tribal religions, what we see is belief in spiritual beings. Okay? So a part of Tyler's theory of animism was that what he called primitive people were basically misinterpreting otherwise normal experiences like dreaming and sleep and other kinds of experiences like that as evidence of non-physical spirit. So the earliest form of animism as an anthropological category was kind of problematic, because it comes with all of these assumptions about the people who believe in spirits. Okay, so it's saying that they are kind of primitive, or that they don't know what they're talking about.
It doesn't give them much credit, does it?
No, it doesn't, exactly. But that was a part of his whole plan, because he was interested in trying to kind of discredit the major religions, discredit Christianity and things. And basically what he was saying was that Christianity is exactly the same as so-called primitive religions. But as anthropologists started to move out of libraries and actually go into the field and do research themselves, this is what ethnography is. It's field research in anthropology, and it's the main kind of research tool in anthropology. Anthropologists started to realize that animism wasn't just a belief in spirits, but it was actually a whole other way of living in the world. And more recently, we've had this idea of the new animism emerging, which is an understanding of animism not just as the belief in spiritual beings, but as a whole kind of worldview, or I would use the term an ontology, based around the idea of relationships between persons. In an animistic society, for example, persons as a category would include other kinds of things, not necessarily human things. So you could have rock persons and tree persons, animal persons and plant persons, and then obviously spirit persons as well. So anthropology is now coming around to the idea that animism is all about relationships, relationships between ourselves and our societies, and then other than human persons. And this is where, again, this connection between the paranormal and our relationship to ecology starts to come in. Because if you look at the paranormal as a whole and think about things like going all the way from like UFOs and aliens to Bigfoot and ghosts and stuff, what we're really talking about is a universe that's populated by countless different kinds of minds and different kinds of intelligences. What we have in paranormal experiences are instances of communication between these different kinds of minds. So if we take the paranormal as a whole, what we end up with really is an animist worldview, that there are these other minds in the world and that we can interact and relate with them. So the crossovers between this animistic perspective, the paranormal, and then our relationship with ecology, which is actually at the moment in the Western world, is kind of like a pretty bad relationship. we're destroying all of our ecosystems. We're losing all of our different kinds of plant and animal diversity. So what I'm thinking is that perhaps through re-engaging with this animistic worldview, we might be able to sort out our bad relationship with our ecology and build something new and interesting.
Dr. Hunter, let me just throw this in here. Oh, yep. Right. One of the messages, a common message received from so-called entities, they could be space people, or one of the things we hear is the admonition, we got to get our acts together, stop war. We need to follow the edicts of peace and all that. Is that something that these spiritualists, contactees, whatever, are making up? Or are these entities really concerned so much that they have to give these warnings?
Yeah. Well, again, we're coming back to the question of what these entities actually are. I mean, we know John Mack's work with UFOs, for example. He picked up on this kind of ecological angle there. That a lot of abductees and contactees come back from their experiences with a renewed interest in ecology. So I think there's if we take the animistic perspective into consideration and the more broader anthropological view as well, we've got to ask whether these entities that people are interacting with are actually extraterrestrials, or whether there may be some way that the Earth is trying to communicate with us in some way. Or whether these are kind of like going down like a Jacques Vallée kind of route, but maybe these are like elemental earth spirits or fairies or whatever we want to call them, trying to reinitiate this communication that we've lost, you know, over the last, you know, at least 500 odd years. So, yeah, I think there is a connection there, and that maybe we need to possibly stop thinking about these beings as extraterrestrials and maybe think of them as like Earth nature spirits or something like that. Other kinds of intelligences, other kinds of minds that are indigenous to this planet.
So basically, maybe our planet is warning us to stop harming it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, definitely.
Now, what do you think about this here? About the fact that we have this large group of people who will tell you that UFOs must be physical alien spaceships. And they look at this other phenomena that we've been talking about, near-death experiences, interactions with other beings. Well, maybe it's a fantasy, or if it's an abduction, we're meeting ET. Let's continue that discussion in our next segment with Gene, Goggs, and Jack. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hi, this is Greg.
Hello.
Tears and hugs on Capitol Hill in the office of Utah Senator Orrin Hatch as Joshua Holt is reunited with his family. The Mormon missionary had been in a Venezuelan prison for nearly 2 years until he was suddenly released after lots of appeals from U.S. officials. Here's Holt speaking with the president at the Oval Office.
I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude for you guys, for everything that you've done, for the support of my wife through those 2 years. There were very, very, very difficult 2 years. Not really the great vacation that I was looking for, but we're still together. Starting off a marriage rough, but now we're going to be together.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
For some reason, being unpatriotic has become a trend as a way to protest perceived injustices in our country. But true patriots understand that America stands for liberty and justice for all. Standing for the flag and our national anthem is a sign of respect for the liberties and freedoms fought for by millions who made the ultimate sacrifice for this great nation. If you stand for the flag and kneel before the cross, show your position through apparel and merchandise from the Patriot Depot. Patriot Depot has hats, shirts, mugs, books, and other articles that show our beliefs in the First and Second Amendments. Go to PatriotDepot.com now and enter code USA at checkout. Find novelties, bumper stickers, clothing, flags, books, and more. PatriotDepot.com merchandise allows true patriots to express their opinions. Check it out right now. PatriotDepot.com. PatriotDepot.com and enter code USA at checkout.
Interested in trading as a way to generate extra monthly income? Listen up. Before you sign up for some garbage program or awkward in-person seminar, you really need to hear about the online trader program that everyone's talking about. This is the program that allows you to get your account funded with someone else's money. That's right. Apiary Fund will gladly put up to $100,000 of their money into your trading account. And the best part? You get to keep 85% of the profits without putting in a dime of your own money. Apiary Fund and this program are growing like crazy. If you're looking for a way to generate extra income every month and finally learn how to win trades like the pros, just call 800-342-2968. Leave your email address on our voicemail, and we will send you all the exciting details of how to trade Apiary Fund's money and not your own. Call 800-342-2968. And again, just leave your email on our voicemail to get your free report on how you can trade someone else's money. Call 800-342-2968. That's 800-342-2968.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're returning with Dr. Jack Hunter, Gene Steinberg, and guest co-host Gogs Mackay. And we're exploring his book of essays, Engaging the Anomalous. And we have, of course, this group of UFO researchers I was mentioning, very large group, probably most of them thinking UFOs are physical spaceships, interactions with beings or physical interactions with beings. And even then, they appear to give the same admonition and like that. And what bothers me here, and I wanted to mention this, is that like the largest UFO organization in America, MUFON, when they ask people who have seen UFOs what happened, they treat UFOs as an external event. Oh, you saw a plane. You saw a car speeding. You saw a car in an accident. You saw a UFO. It's the same thing. They see something external. And they don't ask about family experiences. Have you ever seen any other kinds of phenomena? What about Bigfoot? What about ghosts? What about any of this stuff? And when I asked their director, a fellow named Jan Harzan, why don't you ask those questions? And he said, well, we'll enter the information if they volunteer it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I don't want to get you involved in a dispute over MUFON or its research methods. But do you think at all that taking that approach, focusing on UFOs as a separate individual phenomenon, is really getting to the core?
No, I don't think that is really getting to the core at all. I think, again, this comes back to what we were talking about before. It's only when you start, when you actually ask people about, you know, these weirder kind of paranormal experiences that they will talk about it. you're not going to get people reporting these weirder aspects of the UFO phenomenon if the UFO research organizations are not asking about it. Even if they have those experiences or those elements of experience as a part of their experience, they're not going to talk about it unless they get asked. So I can't see why UFO research organizations would be, you know, would think that that was a suitable kind of research methodology. You want to be exploring all the possibilities. And again, this comes back to an idea that I've written about in this book, Engaging the Anomalous, this idea of ontological flooding, which is my way of thinking about a method of approaching paranormal research that's open to multiple simultaneous theories all at the same time. So instead of hoping that we're going to be able to find one really simple explanation, we should be open to the possibility that there are lots of different processes and lots of different factors going on all at the same time. So there's not going to be a simple explanation. Actually, there's going to be a very complex explanation at the end of the day. So, yeah, I think MUFON should start asking some different questions.
Well, of course, they won't listen to us. I've been talking about that for ages, suggesting that they do something more expansive. And the worst that's going to happen when you ask these questions, the worst that's going to happen is there'll be no more information.
Yeah. I mean, people have been saying this for a long time, haven't they? We've got, you know, Jacques Vallée and John Keel, the two prime examples of researchers who've been trying to push that more expansive view of the UFO phenomenon, but still, for whatever reason, and I think it's something to do with wanting to appear scientific and respectable and rooted in the hard sciences, that whole fairy realm is kind of ignored, which is a real shame.
Remember, Gene, MUFON is basically consists of people who are pretty much ETH at heart, and they're not overly interested in overlap with other weird things because they really only want to highlight data and experiences that confirm what they already think, i.e. structured craft controlled by intelligent beings from another solar system. And, you know, anything that flies in the face of that and maybe, you know, that merges Bigfoot and seances and past life regression and da-da-da and hypnotism and all these things, they're not interested because that detracts from... Because you've got to remember that I think many of these people, although they won't state it outright, and I have sympathy with them, but in a way, ufology is their kind of religion, and the holy grail for them is maybe the hope that one day they may get a ride on board a spacecraft, or they may meet an actual alien, and the blinkers are on for that. That's their ultimate aim. They know that the chances are very slim, but when you start bringing into other weird stuff and that it may all overlap and have the same origins, then it basically, if they start to understand that, they start to think, well, maybe there aren't these space beings for me to meet, and there isn't going to be some great end of Close Encounters of the Third Kind ship landing, and I might get a chance to go off and do this. And in a way, it is disappointing because I'm one of those people. I would love for a big spacecraft to come here and have the chance to go away for a few years and exchange astronaut. I would love to do that, you know, but I don't think it's going to happen. And for some, a bit like religion, it's hope, they have faith, but that's all they've got, and they just don't want to dilute it with other craziness.
Yeah, it's true.
The question I have here is how many of those people really are only looking for ET and don't simply regard the rest of it as something separate? In other words, it's not they don't care about ghosts or near-death experiences or whatever. It's that they're admonished or taught by MUFON that UFOs are category A, UFOs are in Virginia, and ghosts are in California, and Bigfoot is in Pennsylvania. They're three separate types of phenomena, never the twain shall meet. It's not they're not interested or haven't experienced it. It's just that they're tutored in this point of view, and this is what MUFON evangelizes, except when they're not trying to look at time travelers.
Yeah. This kind of tendency to ignore the connections between different areas is a big problem. It's not just in ufology. It's everywhere. I mean, parapsychologists, for example, they don't like to talk about UFOs. People who are interested, and this is where I'm coming from at the moment, people who are interested in the paranormal are not necessarily interested in ecology. They seem like two completely separate things, but actually when you start to think about it, the connection is really, really strong and really pertinent. And actually there might be things that we can learn from the research that we do in parapsychology, research that we do in, like mediumship research and things like that, that might help us to build a better relationship with our planet and our environment. But people don't see the connection. So part of my job has been, over the past few years, is to show that there is this connection. First of all, to show that there's a connection between parapsychology and anthropology and all of these other kind of paranormal themes. And now to show that there's also a connection with this wider perspective of interconnected ecological systems and the way that our planet functions and all of these kinds of things. People are not looking for connections, and that's the problem.
Jack, where do you think, I have a hard time myself factoring in this idea of good and evil when it comes to spirits, mediums, UFOs. There's often, when we were talking earlier on about some of these contactees, the beings have a message of impending ecological doom and that, we must get our act together and da-da-da-da. There seem to be the doomsayers, and also in seances or people using Ouija boards or ghost boxes, whatever, you seem to get, very, very negative entities that only seem to wish us harm and to confuse us and befuddle us. Seems to be in every kind of aspect of the paranormal, there's a good side and a bad side. And where does this originate? Because you weren't here, obviously, but last week we were having a discussion.
Goggs, Dr. Hunter, Gene, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Goggs was busy framing a huge, humongous, did I say big, question. Goggs McKay, pick up on your question to Dr. Hunter.
Yes, it was. I just wondered what Jack's take is on this whole idea of good and evil. Because let me bring in as well, Jack, are you aware of a book Nick Redfern wrote? And in the, I believe, the 80s and 90s, there were some people high up in the U.S. government who were pretty religious. But they were nicknamed the Collins Elite, and they were very of the mind that alien beings were demonic entities, and just how various over history, you know, evil beings have had many guises, like, you know, vampires and Spring-Heeled Jack and da-da-da, and the modern UFO age and grey aliens or whatever are just the latest incarnation of evil entities taking physical form. What's your take on this whole duality, good and bad side of all these things?
Yeah, it's a really big, interesting question. I mean, I don't think I have a definitive answer for you, but the thing that immediately pops into my mind is that we don't understand what these other kinds of minds are like. We don't understand their ways of thinking. We don't know what their motivations are. It's very difficult to say whether, you know, they are good or evil. And actually, you know, it's very difficult to say whether an individual human being is good or evil. We all have aspects of ourselves that, you know, there are bad aspects of ourselves and good aspects of ourselves. I think really it comes down to this idea that we need to do more trying to get into the kind of the mind of the paranormal, or get into the mind of whatever this other intelligence is, and think about it. And I think that's where anthropology comes in, because anthropologists have predominantly worked with human minds, trying to understand human minds. But now anthropology is moving towards focusing on thinking about different kinds of persons, different kinds of intelligences, thinking about, for example, how trees think and things like that. We need more research in that direction. I don't think we're going to be able to, I'm not going to be able to tell you now whether the UFO noughts are good or evil. But what I will say is that we need to do more research and find out about the way that they think. And, we need to do a kind of, I don't know what would be, like a, extraterrestrial anthropology or animistic anthropology.
Do you mind me asking, do you have any religious beliefs of your own?
Not particularly religious beliefs, although I am. I usually say that I try not to believe in anything because, you know, I go with, like, Robert Anton Wilson and those kinds of guys who say that, you know, belief is the enemy. Once we are rigidly stuck in a belief system, then we're in a belief system. And my whole approach has been to kind of step outside of belief systems and try and focus on what we can experience firsthand. So, I'm not religious, although sometimes I think of myself as an animist. Sometimes I think of myself as a pagan. Sometimes when I'm really kind of stressed out, I might recite the Lord's Prayer in my mind, but, you know, that I take elements of religion and use them, but I wouldn't consider myself to be religious. I'm also a religious education teacher, trained religious education teacher. So, you know, I'm open to all of these possibilities.
I mean, no offence, but I always found the RE teachers at school to be, they were quite kind of, not hippies, but they were quite laid back and open-minded people, I have to say.
It's a subject that attracts those kinds of people, I think. It's a really interesting subject, and it's very different to, I don't think they have any kind of school-based religious education in America, but in the UK, we have this kind of like non-dogmatic approach to learning about religion, where you learn about a whole range of different faiths. And one of the things that I've tried to do in my religious education teaching, and I've written a couple of articles about it, is to focus in on the paranormal and anomalous experiences and kind of unorthodox beliefs. Because like I was saying before, it's a really good icebreaker. It gets kids talking and thinking about these different kinds of ideas. And also, again, there are all of these crossovers between the paranormal and religion. One thing that I did with students once, we had to do a lesson about thinking about the nature of God or the God of classical theism. And I started the lesson off by getting the students to talk about UFOs and write down their thoughts and ideas about the nature of UFOs. It was a really, really interesting activity, and we got lots of different perspectives. Some of the perspectives, you know, were like, yeah, UFOs are aliens from other worlds. Others came back with really kind of like John Keel-esque comments about, you know, whether UFOs are just something else in disguise and things like that. But it was a really good springboard for then getting the students to think about those more classic kind of religious education subjects, like, you know, what is the nature of God? What are the nature of spirits and things like that?
Let me drop something in here. One of my late relatives on my wife's side of the family, he believed that UFOs were demonic. And I read a novel where they basically speak an incantation or something, some secret incantation to get rid of the UFOs. Why is there that sort of belief? Where have you encountered it?
So why is there belief that we can have incantations that affect UFOs?
Or the fact that UFOs are demonic?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people might think of UFOs as demonic. One obvious reason is that people often have negative experiences, you know, especially aboard UFOs. We are talking about abductions and all of the kind of invasive procedures that seem to take place there. So there's that angle of it. There's an experiential reason for why people might consider UFOs to be demonic. And then there's also the belief-based reason why people might consider UFOs to be demonic. You know, simply the fact that in the mainstream Abrahamic religions, so we're talking about Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, there is this binary distinction between good and evil. And anything that any kind of the supernatural, or like I was saying, the undomesticated supernatural, UFOs and ghosts and things, are considered to be kind of like anathema. They're things that we don't want to touch. We don't want to get involved with that because we want to stay on this pure kind of path. And again, this isn't capturing the full essence of what these experiences really are. We're either relying on our own experience or we're relying on our belief. and both of those can kind of present us with a distorted view. I don't know whether, and coming back to this idea, we don't know whether this other intelligence is good or evil, or whether its way of thinking is, you know, beyond those kinds of categories. We just don't know, and we need to do more research. We need to do more conceptual research, I think, thinking about those issues.
Well, I guess here you can maybe even assume that UFOs are whatever you think they are and whatever you expect. I'm thinking of the mirror phenomenon that John Keel often talks about.
Yeah, but that's it. But that said as well, there isn't this... still an element of UFOs are not always what we expect them to be. They do possess elements that we expect, and our beliefs do play a role in that, but then there's also always the unexpected as well. So, which I think goes to this idea of that we are kind of co-creating the paranormal, that there is something external, but it arises through our participation and interaction with it. We both bring something to the experience.
What do you think about the theories about this paranormal phenomena in ancient times in the Bible being related to so-called ancient astronauts? That goes back to the physical UFOs. That E.T. came down, they somehow interacted with us, and as a result, all sorts of fascinating things happen. I'll have to answer that question in our next segment. I want to tell everybody about the Paracast Plus. We haven't mentioned it. We've been remiss in not mentioning the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We offer a version of this show without the network ads, the After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next. And I don't either. And our guests don't. We just go in there. And magic happens, or something happens, and we can let you decide whether that's magical, mystical, plus dot, theparacast.com for more information. With Dr. Hunter, Professor McKay, he's not professor, and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.